Is self-care on your to-do list perpetually because it rarely makes it to the top? This week, we are going to debunk some of the myths we have in our culture related to self-care. We're going to help get self-care into your experience and hopefully help you sidestep whatever junk or barrier you've had in your way. Why? Because, number one, it's good. And two, because a highly functioning intuition is connected to how well you care for yourself. We'll talk about this, and I'll give you some easy ideas for starting on this week's Own Your Intuition show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Welcome to today's Own Your Intuition show, radio and podcast version. I'm glad you are here. I'd like to start with a special shout out to a recent reviewer of the Own Your Intuition podcast. She said, "I discovered this podcast from another indispensable and absolute gem of a podcast, Finding Refuge. And I am now listening to each Own Your Intuition show with complete and total gratitude. Aimée's voice is like velveteen earth saturated in healing, love, and wisdom. Aw. The practices and stories she shares feel like everything I've most needed, just in time. Thank you so much, Wilk DJ." And that's just the sweetest about my voice. Thank you. I am so glad the episodes are nurturing you. That's literally why I do them. And I just love hearing from listeners like you to know that I'm landing my mark. So thank you. And thank you for prioritizing your own inner wisdom. I really believe the world is made better when each of us do that. When we listen to the voice of our soul, that is our intuition. It helps us do what we are here to do. And we each have a part to play in the story that is currently unfolding on Earth. So thank you for paying attention to your own inner knowing. Both Wilk DJ, our reviewer, and you, listener, right now. Okay, so self-nurturing or self-care. That's what we are going to be delving into today. Did you know that there is a relationship between how well you care for yourself and how well your intuition works? Well, yep, there is. Every moon cycle, every month, those students circling with me in my Own Your Intuition program dive into, learn about, practice, begin to master, ask questions of me about and really get acquainted with a practice that is vital for a high-functioning intuition, one that gives you answers when you need it. This moon cycle, we've been diving into self-care and its relationship with inner knowing. It's always so juicy. And per usual, in every skill we learn, there are often several aspects to it in our lessons. Self-care is no different. And the place we start when the homework for the month is caring for self is examining our beliefs about self-care. Because in this country, we have a lot of faulty notions about self-care. Go to Italy or France or somewhere else, and everyone is acquainted with the importance of leisure. It's not something you need to earn. It's something you do for life. Like it's an important part of being alive, being human. Dinners aren't rushed through. They can be a whole evening affair. Relaxation and enjoying life is an important part of living. Not so in the US. In this country, we've been raised on a lie of constant movement, constant motion, and quote, accomplishment being the only end game. We've got to do. You've got to get ahead. If you are not rushing, you're probably behind. And that's probably true because of the enormity of what we put on our plates. In this country, even as a child, you have a 35-hour work week plus after-school activities and homework. If any of you listen to the recent interview I did on Michelle Cassandra Johnson's Finding Refuge podcast, the one our reviewer was referring to, I talked about this a bit. Actually, I talked about metamorphosis and the sustainable framework that we have at our fingertips in nature. We dove deep into a whole lot of subjects, actually, in my conversation with her. So look that up, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes if you'd like to have a listen. And if you're hankering for a more sustainable scaffolding on which to base your life. In any case, we've been fed and surrounded by this myth that accomplishment and constant motion and or consumption is the thing, the only thing. Even the holidays in this country seem to be just another opportunity to consume. I'm getting off course here in a little mini rant, but has anyone else ever thought that while stepping into the stores of this country? Every month, there's a new holiday for which there's just so much kitsch to buy. Easter baskets, Halloween ghosts, ceramic turkeys. I could go on here. We don't have a lot of community rituals in this country that are based on things other than acquiring. At least that's how it sometimes feels. We also don't have any holidays in this country that are not in some way pimped by consumerism. Anyway, it's totally off topic, but maybe food for thought, because today we are talking about a practice for deepening not only our intuition, but the quality of our life. So when my Own Your Intuition students study and begin to practice self-care as an essential tool for a highly functioning intuition, we begin by looking at our current beliefs. So I'm just going to start here by saying to you, what do you think about self-care? Maybe you'll respond internally with something like, I think it's good. I know I should do it more. Maybe it will bring up an idea of a feeling of I'm not doing enough. This is another thing I need to add to my to-do list. But we're going to reframe that a bit today, because having self-care as another item on your to-do list is not a way to easily move it to the top. It's just more junky thinking about how you are not doing enough. And It's just about the direct opposite of what happens when you do self-care. Time and space actually opens up. But when you really begin to look deep into what you feel about self-care, what comes up for a lot of my students are beliefs like, taking time for myself feels selfish. I feel guilty when I do that. I don't feel justified to take time for myself unless I feel I have earned it. I must do enough in order to be able to prioritize caring for and making time for myself. Is any of this sounding familiar? Do you have any of these thoughts? You can't be blamed for having these thoughts. We have a lot of conditioning that runs deep and comes from so many different angles in this country that, whether purposely or inadvertently, gives us the message that we cannot rest, that we must do all the things, that care of self is not okay, that beauty is superfluous. If you have had any of these thoughts about self-care, I am so glad you were listening today. This is psychic author and intuitive guide Aimé Cartier, and today we are talking about self-care. So if you are just tuning into the radio, you should know that self-care is related to a high-functioning intuition. So recently in our Own Your Intuition office hours, that's what I do with my students every month. It's the time of the full moon where my current students and I gather to discuss our experiences with the month's tool, and they can ask questions. A lot of these beliefs came up. I invited my students then, and I'm inviting you now to contemplate this question. What is the lie I am telling myself about self-care? What is the lie I am telling myself about self-care? If you are not listening on the radio, if you are listening on podcast format, I invite you to pause your player now and just answer that question for yourself and think it through a bit. What is the lie I am telling myself about self-care? Because it comes in different forms. For example, when asked that question, one of my students who is a mother, and a mother of a child who requires more than most children, she discovered that her lie was, I should not need it. I should not need self-care. I should be able to do all the things with ease. I should be able to be a single mother, a householder, a self-employed business owner, caretaker, etc., without making time to care for myself. Now, let me reveal this to you. The people that hold the most need more self-care than others. Whether that is a person running a very high-end business or movement, or a healer who helps nurture others, certainly a mother who is on call 24 hours a day, if they do not attend to self, they burn out. This is true for everybody. Do you remember the episode number 8, where I had my previous student and now dear friend, Michelle Cassandra Johnson, on? She's the same woman who hosts the Finding Refuge podcast, incidentally. She's coming up a lot in this episode. One of the things that I asked her on the show when I had her on my show, because it was one of the things I always loved about Michelle and I find so rare, was how she learned to care for herself. because even when she came to study with me, she had what I now understand as an uncommon understanding that self-care was essential, not superfluous, not when I have time to get to it, not eventually I'll get to it. When I asked her that question in episode number 8, she revealed how on her previous career as a social worker, she literally saw colleagues die, literally die from lack of self-care. Die from the affliction of trying to solve or be there for all the hurting, all the problems, and not caring for self along the way. Do you understand what that means? If you do not care for self, either you burn out, in which you cannot serve anymore, which was what Michelle realized, that if she did not care for herself, she would literally no longer be able to serve. Or you die from a stress-related disease, which I mentioned before from my friend and also previous student, Betty Peralta. She mentioned that stress-related diseases are the number one killer here. So this is sort of a harsh turn on looking at the necessity of self-care, but I'm here for it, whatever it takes to get the message across. Because how effective are you when you are burnt down to exhaustion or dead? I'm not trying to make light of people dying of stress diseases, just to be clear, but I am wanting to underscore this because it's real. And this is what happens when you don't care for your human body as you go along. It's important. Not caring for yourself is not as an effective way to live as caring for yourself and shining along the way, brightening other people's paths, brightening your own, enjoying being a human on this planet. To be clear, I also don't mean to imply that your life is only worthy or you are only worthy of caring for self if you are caring for others, if you are serving others, because the reasons that souls incarnate are vast and do not always involve service. But I find that the over-serving of others is a common reason why people don't care for themselves. And it's also biological for mammals too. Mammal mothers' brains will literally prioritize caring for offspring over themselves. And this is something I learned from Loretta Graziano Bruning, PhD. I hope I pronounced her name right. It's in her book, Habits of a Happy Brain. I'll put a link to it in the show notes if it piques your interest. This is Aimée Cartier, and today we are looking at self-care and its link to highly functioning intuition, if you just joined us on the Own Your Intuition show. So the lie that you live or believe about self-care can show up in all kinds of ways. It can be sneaky. For example, it can look like, I don't deserve it, or I must work hard enough to deserve it. You deserve to be cared for. You deserve to be cared for because you are alive. And if you want to stay that way, if you want to flourish and contribute positively to this world, then you must absolutely be in the equation of care. To put that another way, you must care for yourself. You must put yourself and your well-being and your human body's needs into the equation of things that are important in your life. Another lie Another way that it shows up is, I should be doing something productive with this time. Do you recognize that that is just furthering the lie that we have been told, that we should always be doing something productive, that we are meant to be like conveyor belts and factories doing something with our lives and never be just laying in the grass with a book and a glass of water or looking at the trees or sitting on your couch and listening to music? Let me tell you, giving your brain a break by daydreaming or sitting on your couch with your knitting or a sketch pad and a pencil to doodle or sitting on the grass in your backyard or the park is productive. It's productive to you living a thriving life. So if you must view it in the lens of productive, please know that idle time is actually very productive for a highly functioning brain. The brain needs a break and silence in order to make connections, to hear your inner wisdom, to put two and two together, to understand the picture of your life at this moment, to access solutions. When there is no space in your life or your brain, it is harder for insights to pop in. And that's part of why and how it is related to a high-functioning intuition. In an upcoming episode, we are going to explore a brilliant story about this, about space and silence that one of my alumni students experienced recently and which inspired all of us. But I think you are getting my point here, right? Self-care is not surplus, excessive, or unneeded. It's downright essential. And you are in a better position than anyone else in this whole world to give it to yourself. You are the only one who really deeply knows you. You are the one with the ear and access to listening to your body. Your body will and does tell you when it is tired, mentally, physically, or spiritually. It signals when it needs soothing or downtime. You do not have to justify this. You just have to listen. And when you do, you will discover the magic that happens when you just listen to your miraculous human body letting you know what it needs. It's truly incredible. And I hope you experience it for yourself. And I would love to hear from you. If you do, reach out, tell me your story. And I also want you to know, especially if you are someone who thought at the beginning of this episode, oh, I should do more of that, and felt deflated for not already accomplishing it, I want you to know two things. One, there is no time like the present. You can begin now. Number two, self-care does not need to be cumbersome or hard. You just have to use or create space. Let me explain what I mean. One of the ideas that my student Trina came up with that was so inspiring to all of us was that she wanted her life to be like a staycation. So I asked her, what would you do on staycation? What would you do with your time? She said, I would put on music in the morning. I would paint my nails. I would do things like buy a new book, read it, and be inspired by it. And then she held up for the rest of us to see her Chicken Soup for the Soul, Angels and the Miraculous, the book that she had recently bought on vacation. I love this idea of treating your life like a staycation. What would you do then? What would you put into it? You might very simply check in with your body and being and see what sounds or seems like it would feel good to do right now. One of my students picked up her embroidery again when she did this. And in doing so, in following what sounded good to her in that moment, she remembered how fulfilling and satisfying doing her embroidery is for her. You might bathe with candlelight. Remember, repetitive things are soothing and good for the nervous system. I think that's why I love to knit. The other night, after doing readings all day, I just got out graph paper and a pencil. I wrote a word in the middle of the page, whatever word struck me. And then I colored in each graph square with a spiral or a flower or a star, or I made lines or what have you. I'll try to post my picture on Instagram this week. It's not a work of art. It's just a very simple thing that you might do to experience self-care. Repetitive, soothing, no reason, no accomplishing tasks. For me, this act involved a pencil, paper, my couch, and not filling up my space with a chore. That's what I mean by claiming or creating space. In a moment where you might otherwise put something on your to-do list or get something off your to-do list, you actually claim that moment for something else. For rest, for care, for nourishment, for self. Self-care doesn't have to be hard. Like I said, I find more often than not, it includes first carving out or claiming a space. So for example, like I just alluded to, instead of tackling the laundry when I got in from my studio and that day of doing readings, I just took time to sit with myself and my family while doodling. My husband and my daughter were doing a puzzle earlier that day. That's another act of self-care. Playing cards, reading books, watching a show you love, sitting with your morning drink and your journal. Simple things. Going to bed early is a great act of self-care. My family and I were just in Bali for the last 6 weeks, and in Bali, there are flower offerings everywhere to Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu. And I mean everywhere, like in front of every shop, every doorway, on nearly every street corner. And they are refreshed pretty much daily, too. On the day we left, just outside of the house we were staying at, we passed like 45 offerings that had been made by the kids at school that morning. They consist of a leaf basket with fresh flowers and a piece of burning incense often sticking out. I loved these offerings, of course. But honestly, I've done this practice for years, not in the exact same way that the Balinese do it, but we have this giant rock in our yard that we can see from the inside of our living room. And I often lay flowers out there in a shape, in a heart, or a circle. I do it as a thanks or a prayer to spirit. So when we got home after a day of work, I was inspired to arrange more flower altars in our yard, in gratitude. For me, this is a form of self-care. I've always loved arranging flowers. One of my favorite memories from my own wedding is standing alone in the morning of our ceremony on a beautiful balcony overlooking the hills and sea and arranging my bouquet flowers for my wedding. It was lovely. So I made a bowl of fresh flowers floating in water and I put it on the front step of my studio. I made one and put it on this angel statue that we have that I always think guards our pond. Doing so was just simply soothing and peaceful to me. So, are you getting my drift? I'm trying to depict that self-care doesn't have to mean clearing your calendar and getting massage onto your schedule. Great if it does. But it can be as simple as sitting down in your living room or listening to music, or as tinily elaborate as getting a blanket and sitting on the grass with something delicious to drink. One of my favorite and so simple acts of self-care that I do is I always like water by my bed when I'm sleeping at night. And I find it so luscious when earlier in the day, like sometime in the evening, I get that glass of water and I set it by my bed so that once it's time for me to go to bed, I don't have to, it's not just like another thing I have to do. I feel so nourished by my own self when I do that. When it's time for bed and I see, oh, all the things I like on my bedside table are already there for me. It feels so good. So you see how simple that is? It's so simple, very easy. It does not involve a lot of money or time or scheduling. So a couple other ideas, listening to music in the morning or in the afternoon. That was like Trina said, she puts on music in the morning. Or like my other example, doodling for no reason, not to create a work of art, not to make something that you need to make, just literally to do it. So don't overcomplicate it. Just do it. See what sort of little ways that you might care for yourself in the days ahead, continuing on your whole life. If having a highly functioning intuition is important to you, which I will warrant it is since you listen to the Own Your Intuition show, make time and space for caring for self. Make it a weekly event, make it daily, or a multiple times a week nicety for yourself. Small or large, depending on what you need. Tune in to your body. Ask it very simply, what sounds good right now? I can tell you that doing so, caring for yourself, often usually means that small things suffice because you aren't so depleted. Say no to others' needs if you have to. You are important too. I am sending you all my love and wishes for such a delightful and easy stepping into caring for self as is possible. I'll see you soon. If hearing the messages of your own soul is a priority to you, if you aspire to lead the life you came here to lead and want a pulse on the ultimate guide for you, which, let me say, is you and your own inner knowing, then I encourage you to jump right on in to my Own Your Intuition program. You'll begin at the perfect time for you. You'll circle with me for 13 moons, so a year, and you'll have the time to learn, practice, and create lasting patterns of doing the very practices that help you hear the voice of your own soul your whole life long. I would love to have you. You can find out more at aimeecartier.com/ownyourintuition.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.